Welcome to episode 417 of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Do you have time for a quick story of Random Act of Kindness Day?
Absolutely.
So I was,
let's start our week off in the right in the right way.
It didn't involve me.
Okay.
So I'm in Orchard Park. It's a rainy day. This lady pulls up to the UPS store. And she has a box, not a massive box, but not a small box. Okay. It's a good sized box. And she's an older lady. It's really windy. It's raining. And I'm driving toward her. And she's pulled off to the side. So she's kind of taking up the lane on the other side coming toward me. And she's out of the car holding the box. And she's struggling with it. Okay. So a gentleman pulls up beside her on her side and kind of rolls his passenger window down and says, "Hey, are you taking the box into UPS?" And the lady said, "Yes." So it looks like he was going to pull in front of her, get out, take the box in. But as that's happening, a younger gentleman, maybe a little bit older than I am, is walking across the street, sees this going on, walks up to the lady, kind of tell that he's saying, "Are you taking the box inside? Are you just dropping it off?" And she's like, "Yes." And he's like, "I'll take it in for you." So he takes it in, she gets in the car, she leaves. Nice, right? It brought me to thinking about one that I had about a year ago. And different plaza in Orchard Park, okay? And this car pulls up to the curb. Now, a woman probably in her 60s gets out and comes around to the passenger side door. And now she's helping a woman probably in her 90s. So it's her mother, okay? Easily in her 90s. I'm talking the frailest of the frail, but still on her feet. Okay.
Okay.
So the curb is probably 4 inches high in this particular plaza. And the lady's having a tough time getting her leg up over the curb. Right. So I see this and I walk over and I'm like, "Ma'am, would you like some help?" And she's like, "Oh, I'd love some help." You know? So I grab her wrist so delicately. Okay. And I swear, I went and just kind of like lifted her elbow to kind of lift her body up over the 4-inch step. And I swear to God, I ripped her shoulder out of socket.
No, I thought this was a feel good story. This well, is the random act of kindness. And that's what you're talking about.
I tried. And then like, I can feel her delicate bones crumbling in my fingers on her wrist.
Oh,
it's like, it's like those little pretzel sticks just snapping in my hand as I try to guide this little old lady up the curb. Anyway,
all right, great story. I thought this was going in a different direction.
Well,
but
the other one was good.
Thanks this for sharing
was,
that one.
That the one that I did was disturbing. It disturbed me. I'll never get that feeling out of my mind ever again. But anyway, it was nice of me, I thought. Last time I helped a really old person, though. So there's a chance that Kyle Oposo may have played his last home game as a Sabre. If you think about it, because the deadline's Friday, and they have a 2-game road trip. So he was asked about it, and he said, "We'll see what happens. You never know." But it was definitely in the back of my mind coming off the ice.
Been here a long time, and I think that he would probably be the first, or probably the last one to say anything, but... You know, I think he was wishing that this would have turned out differently. I think he was wishing that, you know, his time here in Buffalo when he signed here, what, 8 years ago, that things would have been different.
I wonder if players in Kyle's situation right now, if they don't win, ever sit back and think, "I wonder if I should have signed somewhere else," or, you know, all those years ago. And you think hindsight, right? Because, you know, the idea of when he signed here, there's no question he was one of the top free agents on the market that year.
Absolutely.
Do you remember
where we were that day?
Yeah, I remember exactly where we were. We were doing a radio show from the car dealership.
That's right.
That was the day I drove the scooter up the side of the Subaru. Do you remember?
I do remember that.
I didn't know how to brake. So you just wonder if he looks back and he thinks, "Man, I wonder if I would have signed with that team and where I would, you know, if I would have won by now," or if he's just happy that he cashed in. Would he get 6 for 6? Six for seven.
Yeah.
$42 million.
Which I remember there was a few different players that also had signed contracts that were similar to him. And I can't remember who they were. Maybe one could have been David Backes. I can't remember that. I'm losing my mind, but all I know is we were pretty happy when we had the opportunity to sign Kyle Poso.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's, you know, I know that Kyle has loved it here in Buffalo. His family's loved it here in Buffalo, and he's been basically a great soldier in helping this team try and grow in the right direction. And you know, we'll just all wait back, or we're going to wait and see basically what happens. You know, if Kyle goes to a team that needs that veteran, you know, that veteran leadership, knowing what style of player that you're going to get in Kyle, I would love to watch him play in the playoffs. I can tell you that, you know, something, a team that I would be following if he does go. If he doesn't go, then he's going to come back here and try and keep this team on the rails, try and keep them in going in the right direction, positivity wise, having these young guys stick together. And but again, we'll see what happens.
You have an opportunity last night at 2-1 to put a tired team on the road away and show that you can lock down games, beat a Vegas team, then beat a Winnipeg Jets and maybe start to earn a little bit more respect, and you go and you completely piss it away like that.
Well, I don't know if they pissed it away. They just got beat by a better team, right? Oh, like, I mean,
fuck,
Winnipeg Jets.
The game looked even. That was an even game.
But
if
you look at all these games, Petey, they look even.
You know, here we are praising UPL about, you know, give him a multi-year deal. That shot that he had last night, did Owen Power play that properly? Is there anything else he could have done? Could he have been maybe a little
bit
more
aggressive? Yeah, I think he should have closed. He shouldn't even allowed that shot. But it's like, I mean, you got Jacob Bryson. He goes in, he pinches in. I was looking to say, oh, I'm going to fucking roast Peyton Krebs here Jacob Bryson here because he's the one who screwed up. No. He didn't screw up. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. And Peyton Krebs, on top of that, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He backed up the defenseman. He's standing on the blue line. Even more than that, you have Robinson who kind of cruised in onto the defensive side of Jacob Bryson. So everything was perfect up to the point of they flip it out. Peyton Krebs bobbles a goddamn puck. The kid goes down on a breakaway and is allowed to shoot a friggin' shot, which is like, that's on Owen Power. Like, did you watch how many saves Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen made? Did you watch some of the saves that he should not be saving? You should not be saving these saves. Like, he's making saves that should be in the net, that should be counting as a goal, but he's saving them. But we're going to go down, and a kid who hasn't scored in 20 goddamn games is allowed to shoot a scud missile and beats Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. So we're going to sit here and blame this on the goaltender?
Here's a free shot on net.
Yeah, you should never give any shots on net, ever. There just should be stick on puck. You should be forcing plays constantly all the time. But again, there were breakdowns. The breakdown on the Morrissey goal. Yes. Would Ukko-Pekka like to have that one back? Yeah. But look at the breakdown. I mean, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen knows that there's a guy on the backside, and he knows that Josh Morrissey is one-on-one basically with him. Like, so he's got a few different things going on in his mind. Do I have to slide? Do I have to make a move? Or, you know, do I have to stand tall on the goal? But, I mean, this is the point of being a team that wins and loses games, is these tiny little breakdowns. And you have a good team in Winnipeg Jets. Like I said before, they're one of the top teams in the NHL. And they stuck to their guns. They stuck to their system. They didn't give up a whole lot to the Sabres. and they cashed in with 50 minutes into the game. So I'm not unhappy with the game. I'm unhappy that we didn't win. I'm unhappy that we can't find ways to get over the hump, as I would call it. But for the most part, I thought the Sabres played just a very competitive game.
Lock a game down. Why do you got to win 7-2? You're up 2-1 against the top team in the Western Conference. Lock the game down. It sucks that, you know, going into next year, there's dark clouds hanging over star players that are going to be making a lot of money next year.
Like what? Who has a dark cloud?
Owen Power. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's not like people are excited to say that this guy's ready to take us to the promised land.
No.
And I don't want to hear, well, Dahlin in his first and second year. Well, Dahlin was 19 in his second year. Owen Power's what, 21?
Correct. I get where you're coming from, but there's a lot of players that do still have some positivity.
Okay, here's another
them.
Question. Is Tage Thompson really the Tage Thompson that we thought he was?
Well, I mean, going back to last year, say that we have been given a gift by God.
Okay.
Going back 2 years ago when he had 38 goals and 68 points, I would say that I'm pretty happy with a guy that's scoring 38 goals for my hockey team.
Right, but all we need to know, though, Craig, is he 28 to 35 goal, 75 point Tage Thompson, or is he 40-plus goal, 90-plus point Tage Thompson? Because there's a big difference.
Yes, you're right.
Is Dylan Cousins a 25 to 30 goal guy and not a 30 to 40 goal guy? And more of a 50 to 60 point guy and not a 70 to 80 point guy? That's a big difference.
I would say yes. I would say that's correct. Okay. I think Dylan Cousins is a 25, and on a great year, he could be a 30 goal scorer.
Then I guess but we I need think to that, manage our expectations a little bit around here.
Yeah.
Because in fairness to these players, I think people have them pegged as like for instance, with what Tage is making, he can get away with making 70 points any which way you slice it. But the Tage that we need to be successful and be higher up in the standings is the, now granted, I understand this year he was hurt. I understand all that. I'm not taking that away. But maybe there is some element to that. Stiffer competition. I don't know. Teams dialing in more on him, paying more attention to that line. That does happen. That's a real thing.
That line last year with Jeff Skinner, Alex Tuck, and Tage Thompson, they were buzzing. Every time they were on the ice, they were creating. It's almost like they were completely in sync as a group of three. The power play last year, you know, Tage had, I think he had 20 goals last year in the power play. It's a lot of goals, you know, you're scoring goals on the power play. You're feeling good about your game. He had 54 points last year in the power play. This year he has 18, and it's a hard.
Say that
look.
Again. He had what last year?
He had 54 points in the power play. He had 20 goals.
Tage had 54 points on the power play.
Yeah, this year he has 6 goals and 12 assists. You know, Skinner's been in the league for 14 years. Last year, he had by far, not even close, by far his best season in the National Hockey League. He had 82 points, 35 goals, 82 points. He was plus 15. He hasn't been a plus his entire career. He was plus 15 last year, okay? He had 35 goals and 82 points in 79 games. The next best year has been 63 points, and he's done it 3 times.
You're convinced season's over, no playoffs, right? We can just move past that, so then we can talk about the schedule in a different manner. Just say it.
Like,
so that we
what are we going to say? Like, listen, in that dressing room, there is zero discussion, zero talk about not making the playoffs. This is about one game at a time, and that's what we're going to do. As an outsider who has no ties inside that dressing room, there is zero freaking chance that this team is going to make the playoffs. The Sabres need, like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now. The Sabres need to win 15. They need to win 15 of their next 20
games. What I'm trying to do is view it like we did when we were playing. They play Tampa Bay one more time. That's another 2 points they can get. It's the very last game of the season, but fuck, who knows? Anything can happen. All I'm saying is you have Toronto coming up, Nashville, Edmonton. You play Detroit. That's a massive game. You got the Islanders. That's a massive game. You have Detroit again. That's a massive game. Those are crucial points coming up, crucial points to your season. Then you have a stretch of Western Conference teams because you're out west. You go Seattle, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary. Then you come home. You have Ottawa, New Jersey, Toronto to finish off the month. Yeah, their season's done. So what are they playing for then? So we can hang a banner, strong finish, respectable finish to another fucking terrible season.
Players I don't think there's anything right now this team can do that would make the fan base pleased and happy and have happy thoughts going into the next season. Last year was very different. We had a multitude of players, young players, that had career years. We missed the playoffs by 1 point. This team competed.
It's so frustrating, and people always say, you guys are so negative, you're so negative, and it's how. Where's the positivity? We talked about UPL. That's a positive thing, okay? Fine, we have maybe a goaltender, but we don't even know if that's real yet. Where's the other positivity? Our star players? Nope. JJ Paterka? It's a positive.
You know what, though? Listen, I mean, JJ Paterka has had a real nice year statistically. He scored some nice goals, but JJ Paterka still plays a very immature game. He is not, and again, he's super young. He's a very young hockey player. What he's going to be in 4 years from now is going to be very different from JJ that we're seeing right now, but we're seeing.
Yeah, fair enough. It's nice to see that he can at least score.
Like, I don't think the team honestly has really kind of somewhat underachieved, because after last year, when you look at last year, we're looking at it saying this team has underachieved. But every one of those players last year had career years. So you have to eliminate the career years and say, okay, let's get rid of the career years and then look at all the other years that they've played in the league. And this is what I think that this team is. Do I think that we have another level that we can continue to build? Yes. But the team needs to get better. We do not have superstars. Go and look at the top teams in the league.
I was going to ask you something. Are we starting to realize that maybe Tage is a number two center and Dylan is a number three center? And maybe the reality is we need a true number one center?
After this season, you could definitely say the argument. Like, for an example, like is you know, when you look at the Vancouver Canucks, and you look at Elias Pettersson. He's a clear number one. You know, it's like there are a lot of good players. I think Tage Thompson is number one center. I really do believe that. I think Dylan Cousins, and the way that he's going to need to play, I think in order for Dylan Cousins to play the way that he can, we need to add players that can help support his physicality and aggression.
How are you feeling about the defense right now and going forward into next year with what they have?
I don't think it's good at all. I think you have a clear-cut Rasmus Dahlin that I think is a top five defenseman in the NHL. I love the way he plays with jam. He produces offense. He's a power play specialist. He is the real deal. The composure and how he plays, just very, I think the Sabres going to enjoy watching him for years to come. I've said this multiple times this year that Owen Power has not performed up to, I think, his capabilities. But I also think he needs guidance in his game. I think he's got a tremendous package with his size and his skating ability and his skill set. But that is not, you just can't have that. He needs to evolve a little bit more in his game. I think as he gets older, he gets more confident, and adds a little bit to his game. He needs to add some physicality. He needs to add just little things to his game that I think would really help his overall game. You got to have Samuelson come back healthy, because when he is healthy, he is very good. So the 3D that I had just mentioned, I feel very comfortable with. Very comfortable with moving forward. The next is to try and figure out what you're doing with your other 3D to round out your top six. Because I'm not sold on Clifton. I'm not sold on Johnson. And I am not sold on Joakim Harju as a top four defenseman. And Joakim Harju might be a top four defenseman on another team, but I just don't want him as a top four defenseman on ours. And he's a skilled kid, man. Skates well, moves the puck well, don't have a problem with him at all in certain parts of the game. But this is about building the team properly, and I don't believe that he's the guy that we want in our top four as our fit. And I certainly would like something different on our back end on the third pairing that is much bigger and much more robust.
Surprised to hear you say that. You know where I can always find robust? At Salino Law. If you've been in a car crash and need a personal injury attorney, you need a robust attorney who's going to battle with those insurance companies to get you what you deserve. Car crash? Don't wait. Call the eights. 888-888-8888. Call Salino.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Starting Thursday, March 21st through Sunday, March 24th, and Saturday, April 6th, it's the College Basketball Tournament Watch Parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends during March and April in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
There are some guys that are actually that it looks like they've hit their stride at this point in the season. The unfortunate part is that it's too late. And then there are some guys that look like maybe they're trying to play themselves out of here. You can't tell me Kyle Oposo doesn't want to leave, not because he doesn't like it here, but because he wants a shot somewhere else. Žemgis Girgensons, where's his best chance to cash in? Finishing his season with the Sabres or going to a playoff team and showing what he's capable of doing?
Žemgis needs to go to a team that's going to be a playoff team. Žemgis would be a great addition to a team. Žemgis is not a young player. He's been in the league a long time. He's never played in the playoffs. And I think the way he plays is a style that a lot of teams would love to get their hands on. He needs to move on. Fresh start. To have an opportunity to play in the playoffs, he's going to understand. He's going to get a taste. He's going to be like the vampire for the first time, tasting the blood. I mean, when you play in the playoffs, you understand there's only one reason why you play this game. One reason. Actually, I should say two. You play for money. You play for money. That's, you've worked your entire life. You sacrificed so much in your life.
Yeah,
this game for cash, man.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing cashing in. It's not about championships anymore. That's secondary.
It It is secondary. No question.
Set up,
it is
get
about
yourself set
money.
Up for life and then go and try and win a championship.
No question. All the sacrifices, all the power skating, all the weightlifting, all the other things, the doctor's visits and this, that, and the other, making sure your body's fine-tuned just to have an opportunity to kind of get there. And once you have an opportunity to cash in, that's what it's about. But the second part of this is it's all about making the playoffs. Not all 16 teams that make the playoffs. Like every one of those teams, there's a large group of the 16 that actually feel like they can win the Stanley Cup. And it's about getting to the dance and anything can happen. That's what this is all about. And, you know, a guy like Zemgus Girgensson has not had that taste. He's not had the opportunity. And I think that it's time. I think he would be walking into Kevin Adams' office and say, listen, I've given everything I possibly can to this hockey team, and I love it here, but I need an opportunity to play in the playoffs. Could you please move me?
Okay. Here's the thing. Outside of Casey, Zemgus, and Kyle, Eric Johnson, who else could be traded off this team?
Casey Mittelstadt should be a player that's on the market. He should be one that's on the market, because can you go and overpay, or at least how much money are you going to be putting into? How much do you have to pay Casey Mittelstadt? You know, you're already paying Rasmus Dahlin. You're already paying Jeff Skinner. You're paying Alex Tuch. You're paying Dylan Cousins, Tage Thompson. Owen Power next year is going from $950,000 to $8.35 or whatever. You have you've got to pay. You're paying a lot of players.
Well, here's the thing. Girgensson's off, Oposo off, that's $5 million. Olofsson off, that's basically $10 million. Mittelstadt, if he goes, that's $12.5 million. Bryson goes.
Okay, but just stop for a second.
$14.5 million.
But just stop for a second. Rasmus Dahlin's going up.
Hold on. I know
$5 million.
I understand
Owen Power's going up $7.5 million.
There's your 12
like right
million
there,
right there,
it basically takes everything out.
Then you have what's the cap going up? 4 million?
Yes. Around there. Yep.
Well, what's going to happen is you're going to trade Girgensson, Oposo, and maybe Mittelstadt. You might get one player come back because Girgensson and Oposo are going to be draft picks, right? Probably.
Yes.
Draft picks. Yeah.
I would think so. Yeah.
And it's not like, and you got to hold off on the response of, we don't need more draft picks. Like that's all you're getting for these guys. They're rentals. Okay.
Right.
So, or you get maybe like a minor league prospect. But then you're going to bring up, this is where your season turns into the experiment for all the other guys, all the guys in Roch. You know, you get all the young guys are going to get their games and we're going to get to see what they are. And then, we're going to have all this hype around these young guys and they're going to be the players next year that automatically start the season next year. And we're going to be back in the same position. Don't forget that the first round pick in this year's draft is going to be on our team next year too. Sorry, that doesn't work. That sarcasm doesn't work.
Yeah, it's tough to have sarcasm. It's tough to have some fun with this team right now. It's tough to laugh and joke and know that, you know, hey, this is just a one up. We're going to be fine next year. We'll bring in, you know, the proper things or make the proper moves. It's like, we've been talking about this for a really long time with this hockey team. It's far past, you know, joking around. This team is about, it needs to get better.
That's it for this episode of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.